Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Now, just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. Are you thinking about starting your own podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast, but it's an expensive hobby or a labor of love. But what if a podcast wasn't just a podcast? Imagine turning your ideas, your skills, your gift into a profitable business tool. At Profitable Podcasts, we help coaches and entrepreneurs to create, launch, and monetize their podcast with ease, to build visibility and authority, and attract leads and clients easily and simply by giving value, being yourself, and enjoying your marketing. So skip that overwhelm and the never-ending social media, emails, workshops, networking, and attract your perfect clients, all without spending a thing on ads. So if you're ready to make your voice your most powerful asset, let's talk. Reach out or head over to profitablepodcast.com to see how this will work for you. And now, on to your scheduled podcast episode. So today we have with us Michelle Majodashevsky, the founder of Niagara Therapy and Niagara Professional Services, who helps clients with neurological challenges to achieve independence through specialized therapy, while also providing professional consulting services. Through her team approach, combining occupational, physical, and speech therapy, Michelle guides patients from where they are to where they want to be by focusing on individual care that puts the wind in their sails. Now, Michelle's commitment to providing therapist-led sessions rather than technician support demonstrates how personalized attention creates more effective rehabilitation outcomes. And while operating two distinct business entities serving different client populations, she's creating flexible options from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. appointments, off-site evaluations that make premier therapeutic services accessible to those who need them most. I love that. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Could you just follow me around and just introduce me all the time?
Absolutely. That'll be so much
fun. Wonderful.
You get the British guy wherever you go. I love that.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on. This is great.
Oh, you're super welcome. Thanks for joining us. So can you just expand a touch more on, you know, where you are today with your business or businesses and who is it that you love to work with?
So my Niagara Therapy started back in 2008. I was working for a large hospital and they, due to cost-cutting measures, my position was eliminated. So I found myself with 1 month to figure out what are you going to do next? I don't know if I would have ever started a company before that, because that just sounds crazy. And then lo and behold, I am crazy. So why not create a company? And while you're at it, let's do a few. So I started with just myself and a five-year plan to hire a part-time occupational therapy assistant. And that was the road I was on. And just over a year later, I hired a full-time occupational therapy assistant. And then I added speech therapy and then another OT. And then I added physical therapy and moved multiple locations. And so now we're in an 8,000 square foot space. We have occupational, physical, and speech therapy, and absolutely love the population of clients that we get to work at with. Nice. We work with adults and pediatrics and heavy neurological. So we are brainy nerds, all of us. We specialize in the care for stroke, brain injury, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis in adults. And when children come into the picture, we add autism, ADD, ADHD, emotional regulation, sensory processing, articulation, and social pragmatics, being able to get the skills that they're going to need to be successful.
Fantastic. Okay, there's a lot in there, which is fantastic. And it's good to hear that all this comes from, that you were crazy, foolish, excited enough to start your own business. So I'm glad you got that push which allowed all this good to be done. So tell me about your consulting business as well, because as you said, if you're doing one, you might as well do two. So what that side of your business, what do you love about that particular part?
So back in probably 2010 or so, I got tapped on the shoulder to teach a course at a local university. It was a 700 level course, and they kind of said, you can kind of write the syllabus, teach what you want to teach. And I was like, well, that sounds like fun. So I started teaching all of this curriculum, and I loved writing it, and it was fun to do the research, because again, I'm a nerd. And so I loved getting into it. And then, one thing led to another, and I said, you know what, it's fun teaching students, but I bet this would be even more fun to teach practitioners, because they have a place that they can use this knowledge, and I can really do this. And, the phrase will work for travel. And I was like, well, let's travel. So, started going around the country and going to different hospitals and working with different continuing education programs and teaching courses on vision rehabilitation and pediatric vision care and reflex integration and MS care and stroke rehabilitation and how to deal with the issues and impacts after a stroke and a brain injury, and how these play into getting these people back to life and doing what they want to do. And it was so much fun. I loved doing it. The travel was fun. The connecting with clinicians all over the country was just engaging, and I absolutely loved it. Then I got tapped on the shoulder again. Hey, we need some help down, helping with this case. And so then I got kind of slowly sucked into legal consulting, because again, I'm a person who loves the problem and loves to solve it and think outside the box to figure out how it happened, what we're going to do to fix it. So what happened is I started getting connected with attorneys and caseworkers that had cases that a person was functioning at some level, sometimes fully independent, and sometimes they had pre-existing issues. And now something happened, whether it was a malpractice case or it was a slip and fall, it was something happened in their life. And now they function differently. They may be cognitively impaired, so they're not thinking as clearly. They require somebody to kind of be supervising all of those life decisions so they make better choices. Or maybe they have physical needs, so they may be thinking straight, but they require somebody to physically help them get out of bed and perform their day-to-day routines. So what I did is I went in and I was able to look at what their prior performance was and what their current performance is. And as an occupational therapist, this is my sweet spot. So I went in and I was able to articulate in a clear, concise manner what the level of impact was for this person and how this incident, however it happened, has impacted the person and how it's going to impact them for the rest of their life. And then that would help to advocate for them in what they need to have a functional and successful life moving forward.
I love this. So they are all these elements are so different, but they're so linked together. So you can see from the nucleus, if you will, of how this has all come together. What's it like for you as you juggle all these things? Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people want to focus on one thing. Other people need the variety. What's the inspiration or the motivation for you been like to be able to sort of to hold all these different areas?
I'll let you know when I figure out how to juggle that.
Well, you are right now, so you're in the middle of it.
I'm not sure how, but somehow I always joke, you just kind of lean forward and your feet will keep moving to keep up with you. So, you find the project and you're like, but this is such a good project. I really want to do this. And so you're like, well, I'll just figure out how to make more time for that. And you find the next project and that that drive to know more, to understand how it works, to understand what happened.
It's
just so motivating. My most recent adventure, we were talking about personal life, is I'm now a mom, and I was a foster mom and now an adopted mom. And what an amazing experience. And to see the way a child looks at the world, and how it's just an amazing opportunity. I'm the one that truly has gotten blessed through this whole process, to see the world through his eyes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations. That's lovely to hear. So you're looking at impact on so many different levels, and now you're setting the example, you're showing the way, you're juggling so much whilst also, okay, let's talk about that juggle, that being able to help your kids, but also help so many other people and run a business. You have to focus your time. You have to be intentional. It's so easy for things to, either way, family life or business life, sort of take over. So whilst I know you joke and play that you haven't quite figured out yet, well, I think you're doing well right now to hold this. What is it like for you to hold those multiple worlds as true, but also make sure that you focus on those things that are important?
Yeah. So I think part of it is remembering that I have to prioritize my time. And so if we're going out to lunch or we're going to dinner, it's because I've put you as a priority. I'm very judicious with those types of things. And, you know, if we're spending time here on this podcast, that means it's important and relevant to what I think is important to communicate to the general public and to other business owners. So it's all about figuring out how you want to use those valuable awake moments.
Yeah.
And making it fun and engaging. So there are times that, you know, my little man has to come to the office with me, but I own a therapy clinic. I mean, I have swings and rock walls and mats and tables and balls. Like it is far from hard work for him to spend the afternoon in a therapy office.
Oh, shame. I'll go and have fun with all that rock climbing walls. I love that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So yeah,
okay,
it allows me to dovetail a lot together.
Yeah, I'm glad that these worlds come together, because it's not a case of this or that. It's and. How can you do these things together? How can you make these things together? We talk about leverage or optimize, two great words. I think that's what you're doing here. You have to find a way to optimize this. How can this and this improve at the same time? So, I mean, you said, you know, this is important. You're on this podcast with your very precious time. So what is your intention here? What is the message that you really want to help people with? Let's maximize your time here. What's the core message?
I think a lot of it is being able to find what's valuable and find what's important to you, and then put your time, your most valuable resource is really your time. So put that time into that. For me, it meant carving out time in my life to make it fit for this process and for him, and to make him part of my life. And he is integral in all parts of my life. So, you know, people and my friends and my network who a lot of them are business owners, oftentimes know, like, hey, we're going to dinner, but you do realize there'll be like 4.5 of us, right? Because he's going to be at the table. And what's also really nice is that having business owners as friends, they live the crazy with me. And so they're perfectly fine with having a 3-year-old join the table and come for that. And we all get a little bit of levity when you're arguing over, should the clown on the placemat have a purple hat or a blue hat? You know, that it gives a little levity to everyone's conversation, and we get to all be supportive of each other, and we get to have the business owner conversations and networking meetings for all of this stuff. But it creates opportunity for us to be able to do all of those things and have much more success, because we've included all of our personal and business attributes.
I love that they get to live the crazy with you, because I think that's beautifully summarized, because it is, we need those people around us. We need those that understand, those that have maybe gone through similar, that they are living the same kind of life, and just, it gives you maybe space to breathe. I mean, if you take care of so many people, you're clients, your team, there is so much that needs your attention. And so you need your outlook. You need those people that can sort of guide and help you, right? It's so important for us. But hold on. So answer this question. It's, as a business owner, it's easy to put everyone else first and put ourselves last and forget. So again, as you juggle, that's the one thing. I mean, you're on the Unforget Yourself show. Unforget yourself. Remember yourself. How do you remember yourself through this?
I actually think so. I would say the past 24 hours is a pretty good example. So Sunday morning, there was a fantastic, it was a networking. So it technically qualifies for work, right? I get to qualify that as work. But I was there sitting at a table with a group of what I would prefer to call friends. But some people would say that they are also business owners, and I was working my networking skills. But I was filling my cup with just camaraderie, and some of it was, oh, staffing. Oh, yeah, what's going on with you? Oh, contractor issues. You know, one person's got this going on. You know, it was a little bit of commiserating and being the, yep, I've been there. And sometimes that's all you need as a person just to, yeah, I'm not the only person that has argued with a contractor or argued with a contract or argued with staffing issues. There is somebody else that has worn these shoes, and that's wonderful. And so I was getting the business, but I was also filling my personal cup of emotional, like, this is the support system. Then even this morning, I was very blessed to actually jump on a friend, another business owner, is hosting Mindful Monday meditations. So it's 30 minutes Monday morning, and you just get yourself into this zone where you're like, I could tackle the world. I get off that call and I'm like, I could do everything. A little bit of a hard crash landing that I probably am not going to achieve at all today. But I get off the call and I'm centered and I'm focused and I'm ready to attack everything. So, you know, you sneak in those moments and you remember that you can double dip, right? So I have personal stuff that I can use in my business management marketing. You live it, you breathe it.
Yeah, there's a lot. We need that release, if you will. So whether it's your friends, your business owners, the meditation, the groups, whatever gets you to that place, and it's different for everyone. So it's so interesting hearing different people's perspectives. So with this, I want to flip this around. Be like, okay, can we? Maybe you don't know, because it sounds like an awful lot of your work is you follow the next step. There's a natural evolution. These things kind of fall into place. Do you have a plan for the future in terms of, I know exactly where this is going, I can see what I'm building? Or is it more, no, this has suited me to, there's always been the next opportunity. I keep myself open, keep myself aware, and I see the next steps. What's it like for you?
Yes, both. So because of the fact, I always start myself with, before I was laid off, you could have asked me 100 times, will you ever own a business? Nope. So I have learned, don't ever say no, because you will eat those words. So now it's very much an open, like, it's, you know, when you get the next phone call, I wonder what that could be. Like, I wonder what that could do, but I don't know, maybe let's look at that. So, you know, we've done a lot of contracts now where we actually look at ergonomic assessments, because I got a call from somebody that said, hey, you did this really customized assessment for this one client in a shop. Well, that led to somebody else in an HR department finding out about it. And then somebody else in an HR department finding out about it. And then somebody else getting a call, they couldn't do it. And so they said, no, but I know Michelle does that. So call her. And so yes to both. So there are big picture projects that we are working towards as a company, as an entity, to keep things moving and keep things flowing. But there are other times that, you know, when I get the phone call, I need to be in the right headspace to say, maybe let's think about what that would look like. Let's think about how we could do that.
Yeah. It's nice, because
open you are to that, things can be. Mm-hmm.
There's two core angles here. It's looking at the threat or the opportunity. There's people go through phase of saying yes all the time, then through phase of saying no all the time. Being so strict about it, can miss something that might be naturally, organically working for you. So that I love that, keeping your eyes open for the opportunity to see how could it work? Where is that going? What brought that across? I think this is where we, isn't this where we gamify entrepreneurship?
Oh, definitely. 100%. And it's all about keeping your eyes open, keeping your ears open. A perfect example is years ago, I had been toying with the idea of getting a canine on site to have animal assisted therapy as part of the office. And, I don't know if I'll do it, whatever. And I was at a networking grand opening event for a mortgage company of anything, right? So this has nothing to do with animals. And I was just sitting there chatting with a friend, and she goes, you know what? I'm on the board of the Humane Society, and we have this new program of shelter to service. I think you might be the perfect next candidate. I don't even know. So then it turned into a collaborative effort for the Erie Humane Society and Niagara Therapy to train and foster the cutest pup in the world. And my patients on Facebook named her. Her name is Hope. And she works full time at the office. But it was just happened to be at an event and talking openly and sharing thoughts and brainstorming together that Hope came to be.
Okay. So share with me more about how that's worked, because I hear a lot with your story and your evolution, which is these right things drop into place at the right time. When we're open to it, when we're aware of it, we can go super duper woo with this. And it's seemingly, you can't make head or tails of it. You can't see, you can't prove it, but you've seen through experience how these things have dropped in for you. Other people are so much more matter of fact and need the proof. Is this where it becomes fun for you? Is this where it becomes, we said about sort of gamifying it, but to be able to have that smile, to see that signpost, that nod, that wink, that sort of the tap on your shoulder, if you will, come on, how you phrased it earlier, to follow this, does that bring you enjoyment? Does that bring you even more faith? That's a good question.
It does. It does, because you see it happen. You see it be successful. So it certainly creates the incentive to do it again and be open again. I think, though, part of it, though, does come from my occupational therapist background. Yeah. Right. I was an occupational therapist for years. I have my bachelor's and my master's degree in occupational therapy. And the core root of occupational therapy is getting function, getting a person, child or adult, to be able to accomplish something that's meaningful and purposeful and valuable to them. So whether it's a child being able to be able to operate their eyes well enough to read a book, or even operate their hands and their eyes to tie their shoelaces, to an adult who they really want to be able to change their child's diaper, but they had a stroke and now one arm doesn't work. Or they want to be able to go back to work, but their multiple sclerosis requires them to use a wheelchair. So finding the best wheelchair for them to be able to access their work environment. So my entire professional career has been, there's a challenge. Figure out a way to make it work. Figure out a way to make somebody else successful in this. And, that didn't work. Okay, let's try it this way then. Well, let's flip the project over on its head. Let's turn it sideways. Let's look at it from inside out. Let's look at it backwards. Let's look at it in a different perspective. And we keep turning the problem around until, wait a second. What if we try this? And then you find it. And then all of a sudden, they now have a standing manual wheelchair, and they can greet the customer as they walk into the shop. And then they can put themselves back down, roll over, do whatever they need to do, and then come back, and they can function independently. I had one child one time tell me, I asked him how reading is going, and he said, well, it's so much easier when the words don't go off the paper. Wow. So the words were actually moving off the paper for you before. No wonder that was hard to read. No wonder you weren't being successful in that. No wonder it's easier now. Finding all of these gains, and sometimes it seems like little things, but it's not. It's important to these people. You know, sometimes it seems like such a little tiny thing, But it's magnitude. I mean, I had one patient walked in one time and said, "Oh, I owe you $30." And I said, "I don't know why, but why do you owe me $30?" He goes, "Because I've been so much more organized in my bank statements, but since we've been working together on cognitive strategies, I caught a bank error and they had to refund me $30." I'm like, "That was cool. That was cool." Like he was like,
Yeah.
living that gain and that stride, and to be able to do that, whether it's an occupational therapist creating that opportunity for my patient, whether it's me instructing a class, and all of a sudden you can see a therapist in the audience go, "Oh, I can't wait to get back to the office so I can treat that patient again. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that with that patient. I'm going to do this with that patient. Oh, I'm going to treat those kinds of patients totally different now. Now that I have this magical key of information, I'm going to go and the way I'm practicing, the way I'm treating is going to be different." It's an amazing opportunity to see that light click on.
I love that. Those moments. So from your perspective, it's when you look at the challenges, it once you find that thing, it's like, oh yeah, there it is. That works with your clients, with your patients. They have their so it's all about those moments. All about those moments for you, for your team, for everyone around you. I love that. So look, for those people who want their own moments, whether they need some help, some support, or some guidance, I mean, how do people reach out to you? How do they find you?
So the company and the practice website is www.niagara, NIAGARA therapy LLC.com. On there is another page that talks about some of the legal and professional consulting as well as advocacy. We do work on a lot of advocacy work for understanding your insurance and your healthcare. But also you can reach out to me at my email, michelle@niagaratherapyllc.com. My advice is make sure to spell it correctly, because there's a lot of misspellings with Niagara. There's three A's in Niagara. Believe me, I
Fantastic.
can
Well,
tell you
everyone.
the number of checks that the bank's cashes that we have two A's, it cracks me up.
No, we'll double check it. But if you're curious or think this sounds fantastic or just want to start the conversation, please reach out and enjoy. And again, look, Michelle, thank you so much for this. And thank you for sharing the way that you see these opportunities and you lead the way. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So, what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe. Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is, and we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah, so please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.